Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. One of my favorite people, and probably yours, on planet Earth. Nobody has seen anything like the amazing journey my guest today has been on in real time, for God, for humanity, for truth, and for justice. Thank you for joining me again, Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me back on your show. It's always a pleasure, and I feel right at home, actually, telling you the truth. I feel so much American, if you will. I said it so many times that I don't care if Americans want me or not. I am adopting myself into the American family. No, thank you so much for everything you're doing. I mean, America is a key, I believe, with God, of course, God first. It's a key to a massive liberation, if you will, globally, because no one is standing pushing this globalistic agenda as much as the American people.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, we used to always say, or we used to hear a lot Donald Trump say, actually, they're not after me, they're after you, and I'm in the way. I keep saying to people, we got to shift that thinking. They're not after America, they're after the world, and America is in the way. And that is why I believe we are watching what is obviously an attempt at controlled demolition of America. And what you point out a lot about this is that, as I believe, that there is a globalist billionaire oligarchy class of people. I call them the Fourth Reich. People can call them whatever they want. They have no allegiance to any nation. They have no allegiance to any people. They are a parasitic class that preys on us. And we really have to remember, I think, right now, not just for America, but for all of us that are being brave and following you as one of the most brave people that has had a public spotlight, is that this is really about what humanity will become in the future and what we want for our children and grandchildren, and standing against what we don't. So tell my audience a little bit about you went to court You were on the show the day before, and we all prayed for you. And when you walked out of there victorious, I said, oh, and we said it, we knew it. I said, God is going to use this man on such a huge scale, and I think he has. So I want to talk a little bit about what you've been doing and your view of these people, because I think they're losing, but I also think that makes them very dangerous.
Well, there's a number of situations right now, though, we are witnessing in front of our very eyes. I think number one, and I believe it's the most important one, is that God is wooing his church back to him. Enough of religion, enough of social club, enough of the bingo mentality that the clergyman comes and juggles for you and turns you and you give $20 on a collection plate because you're satisfied. It is no longer the idea of it's about me, I am myself, must die. It's all about God. It's all about his justice. It's all about his righteousness. It's all about his truth. The whole fight from the very beginning, and it will be to the very end, has always been, is, and will always be about one thing: truth. Did God really say that? So that's the number one thing. I believe that it's happening in front of our very eyes. And that, of course, aligns with what he showed me about half a year before the big lie. You see, I'm not claiming to be a prophet, but God uses our ministry in a very prophetic way. I don't know if you know, but he placed us in front of City Hall at the gates of the city. There are literally gates that were brought from England, placed in Olympic Plaza in front of the City Hall, symbolizing the gates to the city of Calgary. And I remember in 2008, when the police were arresting me for feeding homeless, I was in and out of jail, in and out of court. I spent more time during that time in court than in the church, believe it or not. Over 300 citations for feeding the homeless and preaching the gospel. I was even arrested for a reading Bible in public, insanity, a total insanity. But I think all of that was a preparation for such a time as this. I went through difficulties so I would be able to stand tall without bowing today. I think that's why God allowed all of this craziness happening in our lives. So in 2008, when the police threatened me with another arrest, I told them, thinking that it will be just for one day, I said, you know what, you're really ticking me off. I'm going to take the whole church in front of the mayor's window if you don't leave me alone, as a protest. And they didn't believe me. And, you know, that's the thing. People don't believe, you know, prophetic voices anymore. I think now more and more people are aligning themselves with what God is warning the population, what's coming. But, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, prophetic voice was laughed at. People had everything their hearts desired. So they didn't take me seriously. So I took the whole, I brought the whole church, the shop, as the media were calling, in front of the mayor's window. And all of the media showed up. I mean, it was a gong show. It was the, you know, Calgary police. It was detectives. It was every media outlet. It was, you know, the bylaw services. You name it. Everyone was there. And the mayor was there too. He came out. And the media looked at me and pointed the cameras at me, and they said, okay, Mr. Pawlowski, what are you going to do next? And I just wanted to make a statement. I wanted to plead with the mayor that I'm feeding the homeless. Please leave me alone. But he was not interested. He ridiculed me in front of the cameras and walked away. So I said to them, well, I guess see you next week. And that was 2008. 2008. If you told me that God is going to place us at the gates of the city for a prophetic voice to be the light in the darkness, I would laugh in your face. So fast forward now, we are there. We are witnessing historical moments. As Bo Polner always points out, those are not political times. Those are biblical times. In front of us are the Arabs yelling, screaming, bloody murder. On our right, at the gates of the city, are the Jewish people congregating, you know, opposing the terrorism that we have witnessed in Israel. And then behind us, so Christians, Jews, Arabs, Muslims in front, political city hall in front of us, police dividing all of the groups, and behind us is a catering. And I yesterday we fed the poor, we feed people three times a week, and we preach the gospel three times a week for 24 years now. And I looked behind us, there is a skating ring, and people were going in a circle around and around and around, completely oblivious to what is happening around them, uninterested. So here is what I believe is happening. God is purifying, if you will, by allowing the fire to be more intense, he's purifying his church. That's the one thing. About half a year before this big lie, I had that vision. I think I shared it with everyone when I saw the fence. Yeah. And, you know, from time to time, God will just give me a vision out of the blue. I would be a liar if I would say to you I was in a deep prayer or a deep worship. No, it just happens to me from time to time. I'll have a dream or I'll have a vision, open vision, and I will just see things. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I saw that fence, and I saw powerful two hands. As you remember, he grabbed that fence, and I knew that those hands are God's hands. We give so much focus on what the enemy is doing that we have quite often we have forgotten that God is still sitting on a throne, that he has everything covered. He's not surprised. Oops, oh, I didn't see that one coming. I mean, no, that's human. That's not God. So he grabbed the fence and he shook it and he kept shaking that fence violently with great strength and power. And I saw the fence represented the whole earth. So this, just like you started the show with, this is a global agenda. This is not a regional. As a Polish immigrant, I grew up behind the Iron Curtain, and that was a regional craziness of communism, socialism, tyranny, totalitarian regime, whatever you want to call it. Now it's a global agenda because the pharaohs of today are fighting for a domination. They want to be the hancho, the big hancho. They want to be the big dog. They want to be the only one, kind of, you know, the control who lives and who dies. So when God shook that fence and he didn't stop, people were forced to jump either left or right. People were forced to make a decision. I believe, Mel, We are in a historical biblical time when people are being forced to make a decision. Either you're a good person following God, or you're a wicked, evil psychopath, bloody murderer, just like during the time of the Nazi era, right, when people were forced to make a decision that would, you know, that would turn them either into a martyrs, the good people, or monsters. Right. That's what we're witnessing right now. So when he was done shaking, I did not see any person sitting any longer on a fence. And he spoke to me and he said, when I'm done shaking, and I'm telling you, Mel, he's not done shaking. We are in the middle of his shaking. The judgment starts in the house of the Lord. He is purifying us, all of us. No one is excluded. No one is perfect. It's all like Jesus said, no one is good. We can only be good if we align ourselves with good God under his umbrella, under his righteousness and truth. So he said, when I'm done shaking, everyone will have to choose either me or the devil. And that's exactly what we're witnessing. So this is a struggle. Who is going to be the next Pharaoh or Caesar or Führer or whatever, you know, you want to call them. Also, this is a time of purification. Jesus is coming back. We know that he's coming back, but he's coming back for what? For a holy church, a righteous, a glorious church. And what we have witnessed for the past, at least me, 30, 40 years, it was nothing but glorious and holy. And it was actually quite opposite. It was a disgusting thing to see what we humans have done to God's church. I believe if Jesus was here today, he would flip the tables again, make himself a whip and start beating us all up. And with his own body, he would prevent us to, you know, from coming back to his holy place. So it's a good thing. And that's my message today. Yes, the Red Sea is crazy. I just crossed my Red Sea. On a dry ground, when the gallows, if you will, were built, and we were surrounded by the Egyptians, and on the left was the mountainside, on the right was the mountainside, and in front of me was the Red Sea. The only thing I was able to do, there was nothing else I could do except to die, I guess, being destroyed by the enemy, is to move forward.
Right.
So I crossed my Red Sea. That's what happened in the court. I faced 12 years of imprisonment. I became the first Canadian to be charged and convicted of eco-terrorism for the truck convoy. Believe it or not, I don't own a big rig, and I became the first trucker, if you will, to be arrested during the truck convoy. All the organizers were arrested a week, some of them weeks after I was arrested. So they focused on a pastor. Why is this important? Because what I was saying to the people was truth. And the truth, God says, shall set the captives free. And it terrified them. Also, I was giving people hope. And that's why I'm so excited about people like you and Bo and Julian and Amanda and others, because you're telling people what's coming, but you're giving them hope. Because when you align yourself with God, there is always hope, because God is bigger than all of the villains, demons combined together. Greater is he that is in us than the one that is in them. So when I walked inside that courtroom before, I had a dream. And it's quite interesting, because that dream was aligned with Julie Green prophecy. And here's what I saw. I know we all dream, but I never remember dreams. I don't remember what I was dreaming yesterday. It never happens to me unless I dream God's dream and then I remember it, like I see you. Here's what I saw. The church did the Jericho March seven times, blowing shofars, worshiping on the steps of the court the night before. I go to bed in Lethbridge, where the trial was happening and the sentencing, and I had a dream. In my dream, I see a beach. I see dirt on it, sand and filth and all kinds of different things and footprints. And then I see a huge wave, and the wave was so big and so powerful that it cleaned the entire beach. And when the wave went back to the sea, I saw the most incredible, beautiful sand beach that you see on the posters, you know, for vacation things. And he spoke to me and he said, there will be not even a trace. And it ended. So I walked into the steps of the courtroom and I decided to do the very thing that I was accused of, sentenced, a guilty verdict of all charges, inciting mischief, which has 10 years of imprisonment, which has never been done. I'm the first Canadian ever to be found guilty on inciting. And what did I do? I gave a 90-minute sermon to a hurting people that were attacked on a private property. We were singing hymns. We had Lord's Supper. I prayed for the people and I gave them 90-minute message. Three times I told them to stay peaceful, no guns, no swords, but to stand for God and state given rights. I do it solidarity style because that's what I saw when I was growing up. We took down the biggest empire at that time by a peaceful resistance. We paralyzed their system by simply not complying with their wishes. And it's over for the villains. It's more of us than of them. We must understand the concept. There is more of us than of them. Pharaoh is one, or there will be a group of pharaohs, but there is billions of us. We can eat them for breakfast.
Right.
Like, we have to understand the concept. So going back, I did what I was accused of. I did another sermon. I pretty much repeated everything that got me in trouble in the first place. That's how I fight. I call it the head-on collision. You're telling me not to say it, I'll say it double. You're telling me not to go, I will go and bring my friends. You're telling me I cannot have a brother for coffee, I'll invite not only him, his wife, my parents, and my neighbors for a dinner. You're telling me I cannot have a church, I will invite everyone to participate. You're telling me you're canceling Christmas, I will organize the biggest Christmas in the land. And that's just how I fight. I do opposite what the devil is asking me to do. When he's telling me to keep quiet, I yell from the rooftop. So that's what I did. I doubled it. I did not only the sermon that got me in trouble in the first place, you know, solitary confinement, stripped naked, metal cages, psych ward, a max spot for terrorists, all those different things that they did to me, house arrest for a year and a half, probation officer. And I upped my game by naming them. And I said, when this is done, we need to go after them. And I walked, I said goodbye to my family. I was told by my lawyers that I'm not coming out. I will be taken to prison, to the same prison I exposed their corruption for a year and a half. I was to go to the same place. So I knew I may not come out alive out of this place. You remember they tried to murder me in prison. Yep. Five different inmates testified that that's what the guards were asking them to do by giving them all kinds of incentives. So anyway, I go in and here is a fascinating part of the story. The lawyers are fighting back and forth how long I should be imprisoned. The Crown Prosecutor wanted a minimum year. The judge said, I have 12 years at my disposal. Of course, my lawyer believes I'm innocent because I am innocent, but you got to deal with the situation. Corruption is at the highest levels. The judge, Gordon Krinke is his name, is corrupted. He was told by the politicians to find me guilty. The Crown Prosecutor is a liar, pathological liar and manipulator. His name is Stephen Johnston. He's from a special prosecutor's unit assigned to go after freedom, free Canadians, freedom, you know, warriors.
Yep.
So the judge stops everything and says, I have to go and discuss this case with others. And he leaves us there. I've never, ever seen this before. And you got to remember, I'm a little bit of an expert if it comes to
right?
340 citations, over 120 court cases, and I don't know how many arrests. So I have seen a lot of judges, and I'm talking about all levels, including the courts of appeal, criminal, Queen's Bench at that time, provincial, civil, you name it. And I've never seen a judge leaving the room trying to consult what to do with accused and convicted criminal. You know, so he goes over there and comes back and pretty much says, time served, and I walked free. So what is happening now?
Wow.
I know there's a lot to, you know, to digest here, but here is what I'm doing now. I've decided from the very beginning in the beginning of 2020 when I became the first Canadian to get a COVID ticket. So from that moment, I said, if God allows me, if he will allow me, if he will release me to go after them, I will sue them. I will go after them and I will keep exposing them. And that's exactly what we're doing. We've appealed the decision. So the decision is being appealed already. And I hired another law department and multiple lawyers to sue them. I'm going after Calgary police. I'm going after RCMP. RCMP is like your FBI. I'm going right. after the judges. I'm going after the Crown prosecutors. I'm going after Alberta Health Services. I'm going after all levels of government, municipal, provincial, and federal. I'm going after anyone and everyone that I can to make a statement. And that's my message to you, to yep. everyone. There is a time to defend ourselves. There is a time to strategize our defense, but there is also a time when God is saying, now go into offense, go after the villains. Justice demands retribution. Justice for the people that cannot afford to fight, for the people that don't have the voice, for the people that are crushed by this corrupted to the core treacherous system. All the mountains of influence have fallen down, and we need to rebuild the system or bring a reformation, if you will, into all those sphere of influence. And that's my plan. We yeah. started a political party. We are appealed the decision, so the fight is on. Also, I am suing them. So I want to ask everyone if you want to be part of this, because this is a fight with the most powerful entities in our country. I'm going after politicians. I'm going after media, propaganda. I'm going after all of them. And the fight, I was told by my lawyer, is going to be to the death. I mean, this is a crazy fight. I talked to him a couple of days ago on Thursday or Friday, and he said, I'm almost ready with to file the documents. And he said, your story, I've never even heard a story like this before, and it's absolutely insane what they've done to you. He said, it's unheard of in any free and democratic society. So I think you're right. I think that God allowed me to go through the difficulties in order to expose who yes. those people really are, how corrupted and evil is this system. And this system must come down. This system must be replaced with the good people. So that's pretty much the summary. One more thing I want to add.
Yeah,
I'm almost done with my book. So if people are interested in what happened to me in jail, when I was there, you got to remember, I was in solitary. I was on concrete benches so many times, metal cages. And so what I decided to do to keep my sanity is I kept writing day by day. So day one, day two, three, four, five, seven, you know, every day I would be writing what is happening and what is happening with me spiritually, you know, physically and mentally. And I'm planning to publish this
Great.
To let the people know what was happening, what God was saying to me, what, you know, how life in, you know, being a political prisoner in a so-called democratic and free society looked like for a pastor. Because yes. you got to remember, I'm a clergy, and they went after a clergyman because of my words. And the words were peaceful. Giving people hope, telling people to stand for not just for them. And you touched on this. This globalistic attack on us is not just against us. We must understand that this is a fight against our children and their children.
Right.
This is not just about you and me. This is not about our generation anymore. They know that our generation, it will be very, very difficult to enslave us, because there is many of us that want to be free, because we were free, right? Me personally, I broke the shackles of communism and socialism. I escaped and I tasted freedom. And that's why if you taste freedom, you never want to become a slave again. But the children don't know any better, and they're after our children. We must understand that what we're doing today not only will echo in eternity, but it will also affect our children and their children. So if you love them, if you truly love your children, you cannot hide. You cannot become an ostrich, because if you know when an ostrich puts its head into the sand, what's exposed? What is exposed when you put your head into a sand, right? We cannot allow them to keep raping us. We cannot allow them to keep doing this great evil to us, because if they're done with us, if we will refuse to rise up, they will come and pillage our children and their children. I quite often say to the Canadians that today we are making a decision how our tomorrow and the tomorrow of our children is going to look like. So what I'm saying is go to streetchurch.ca, and chip in if you can, so I can expose them and show again to the whole world, like I did before through all those few years, how you resist them, how you stand up, even though they will come and arrest you. There is a way to do that. And now I want to show the whole world how you go on the offense, how you fight, how you expose. My lawyer said that this trial, this case, will give a Canadians an enormous opportunity to know what was done to them and who did this to them. Because when you're filing a massive claim, we're talking about one of the biggest lawsuits in the history of this country, lots of rocks will be turned and lots of things will be uncovered. Lots of names are going to be revealed, who, why, what, and et cetera. So it's very important for the people to rise up and help us to keep fighting. Like my brother David always says, we are in the trenches and we have no problem fighting. We're willing to fight for you. You got to supply the bullets.
Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America First company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkayshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELKAY. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, Mel K Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much. Yeah, I talk about this a lot because I'm a student, or I was for 20 years, of a lot of Hannah Arendt's work, and in her responsibility and judgment essays, she had a whole essay about exactly what you're talking about, where she was talking about Germany after the war, the German people, and saying it was about responsibility and judgment. And she was saying, you know, if you're holding everyone guilty, nobody's guilty. You have to name the specific people, the way that they set up these totalitarian regimes is everyone is a cog in a wheel, and therefore nobody is guilty if everybody is guilty, and that is never going to lead to anything. So even during the Eichmann trial, when she was covering it, and she was saying, so, you know, this guy doesn't care. And even at the very end, Eichmann said, you know, when they were going to hang him, he said, I was a good soldier. I served my Führer and my country, and I'd do it again. You know, you have to really understand that whole concept of naming names, because in America, we got to do the same thing. And I look forward to this, and I look for the other side of this when we do uncover. We have to hold the specific people accountable. Holding a committee hearing or going after the FBI or going after, you know, in the RCMP or whoever means nobody's guilty. You know, if you don't go after the specific individual, which we can, and people don't do it often, and you are going to do it, and hopefully you'll show America how to do it. Because let me tell you something, I believe the coup in America started in 1963 when they murdered JFK, and it's been a cover up one after another ever since. And that deep state is the same deep state. And the only reason that they continue to get away with this, and it's a globalist billionaire oligarchy at this point that are all protecting each other from crimes that have gone on for 50 years, is because they didn't do what you're doing, because they didn't name names, and they were either intimidated, silenced, whatever the case may be. People didn't have the balls. And I'm sorry to say that here, but also all these multinational law firms, they're all controlled. They're all in on it. You got to find brave lawyers, brave people like you to be the defendant. I mean, to be the plaintiff, to go up against these specific people's defendants. And I think we should be doing this in America, especially to school principals, to teachers that are doing this to our children, to people that are getting these track and trace surveillance contracts in our communities without us knowing. So all of this stuff that's happening. And so it's the cog in the wheel thing. If everyone is guilty, nobody's guilty and nothing changes. If you are talking about specific people, then you know what you're going to do in your case? You're going to break them. And they're going to say who's above them. And then that person's going to say who's above them. And then we might really get to the place where the billionaire globalist oligarchies that have taken over Canada and America are named by name and held accountable. And I really think it's very important that we in America support you, because it's going to be the same exact people at the very top and the same money and the same psychopaths that have this great reset, totalitarian, dystopian nightmare vision of 17 sustainable goals for them to keep their power. That's what the whole thing Agenda 2030 is about. It is a one world power structure. And all I can say to people that read their words, you know this better than anyone, they're Luciferian, and they turn their words upside down, and they use words that make good people think that they want good outcomes. And that is not what they're saying in this stuff. What they are saying, and obviously Trudeau and Freeland and all of them are totally owned by the globalist billionaire oligarchy. But what they're saying, they're getting us by lying to us to make us believe that what they're talking about is ending poverty, ending economic divide. Everyone needs an ID. Everyone needs the vaccine passport. We're going to end corruption worldwide. All of this is about central control by a bunch of self-anointed, sociopath, psychopath, totalitarian oligarchs that think that they're smarter than us. And honestly, I think they're failing. And the other great part is while they dumbed down our kids and poisoned our children's minds into being activists instead of educated children that could go out and create and be industrial and all that, they dumbed down their own kids. So they don't have the minds to keep going. And so people like you and like me and our audiences and people all over the world are looking at them and see them for what they are, which is arrogant people that are losing and becoming desperate. But I think what you're doing with the separating at the cogs out of the wheel, I'm pointing at people specifically, is the only way to do this.
You have to do that. And you got to remember, you're talking to a Polish immigrant, right? I grew up in a country that was completely controlled by few. And so I know what I'm talking about. I didn't just read a cool book, or I didn't just see a Hollywood production. I know how the system works. That's why our family, our church, we have decided to name them. That's why at the very beginning, what did I say? I named the judge. He's a crooked, corrupted political entity that has nothing to do with justice. Gordon Krinke, the Alberta judge, corrupted. David Gates, I don't know if he's related to your devil, Bill Gates, but David Gates, the judge of Alberta, gave them the power in a secret meeting in a court to come into our church with SWAT team. I mean, this is insane.
We all saw it. It was crazy.
Right? What happened after with David Gates? He He didn't resign. He went into, you know, retirement. Another guy that went into retirement that tried to murder me and destroy me, another crooked judge, is John Rook. John Rook was the chief associate justice, justice, of course, in quote. He was the boss of the judges in the province of Alberta. He, in a secret meeting, again, secret meeting off the records, he gave them the power to arrest 4.5 million Albertans if they will dare to oppose Alberta Health Services.
Unbelievable.
He retired as well. So I don't know what they gave them, but after they do this evil, they suddenly retire. Adam Germain, another crooked judge in the province of Alberta, he got me arrested. He commanded me and my brother David to recite a government-approved script about the jobs and the muzzles and all that craziness, right? And we refused. We said, Judge, send your sheriffs because we will never obey your order. You're a psychopath. You're evil. You're wicked. Oh, he was super, super upset.
But that's what you had to do. That's what you had. But listen, this is why... I think you're just an honorary American already, but everyone in America should be looking at, watching, supporting, financially helping you, because, I mean, you've given up everything for this fight. But because we can take a lesson from you, because what's happening to you, as you know, are happening to a lot of these January 6 people who are completely innocent. Yes. They did nothing wrong, and their lives have been ruined. If there were people that did, fine, but the majority of them did not. Also, what they are doing to Donald Trump. So we got to watch your thing. Because here, it is about the judges too, and we need to name them. We know a lot of them. Some people are doing it, but there needs to be an answer here, because the way that it's set up is that they have no oversight. Yeah, they have oversight, not just God, but also we the people can be the oversight, because these people are being instructed by somebody else. And if you don't go after them like you are directly them, you're not going to find out who's above them. And who's above them is how we break the world situation. Because one thing I do want to ask you in this sense is, for me, I keep saying to people, just shift your mindset to and take responsibility for this, that they're not after the America, they're after the world, and America's in the way. Thus, they have to remove America from the board. They want to turn us, I believe, into something like Venezuela. And if the people don't understand that, they're not going to be able to fight properly, because right now, you know, America is being so divided, left, right, gay, straight, but whatever oppressive class. You see, we're in a color revolution. They keep having different uprisings. Right now, they're asking for a ceasefire from God knows who, marching in the streets. It's going to be something else next. We've had them one after another since Black Lives Matter. It's to divide us into more and more oppressed classes versus oppressor. It's just a total tactic. And at the bottom end of the day, I believe all Americans need to realize we're all under attack equally. They want us all to fail. 2024 in our nation is right now about being globalist citizens or citizens of the sovereign United States of America. And if we're all standing in freedom, we can figure out anything else after that. But if we give up our freedom, it won't be to us. So for me, what I keep saying to people also is, let's imagine terrible consequence. I don't think God would ever allow this to happen. I think God anointed America to be in this place right now. We are not standing in the way of this for no reason. We are standing in the way of this. And every American citizen should take pride and feel righteous indignation to stand up and stop this globalist oligarch dystopia from overtaking our nation. And I think we will. But if you removed America from the map, let's say in their grand plan, which is what they want to do, the reason these people are so stupid that are running the billionaire oligarch Fourth Reich is because, let's say they removed America. Well, are you telling me that the CCP would say to the Muslim Brotherhood, now you guys sit down, we're going to take control? Or the globalist billionaires from, Davos and the Crown would be like, okay, we're going to just listen to the Muslim Brotherhood and we'll just take a back seat here and do whatever they want. No, if they removed America and the freedom-loving people that stand for what America stands for, like you, hell on earth has not even been realized until after those of us that they would like to take out are gone, because there is no getting out of that battle. That would be just hell. It would be hell on earth, in my opinion.
Yeah, we have to understand that this fight that we're witnessing right now, either people are believers or not, it's evil versus good. It's like in front of you. You have to be really stupid or blind not to see what's really going on. This is a war between what is good even historically speaking, good, and what is absolutely vile and evil, including what is happening to children, right? Food supplies. I mean, everything you touch right now is perverted, evil, sick to the core. So evil is like a cancer. And I kept saying this over and over again. You got to remember, evil is like a cancer. Cancer never stops on its own. It has to be cut out or it will kill you. So in the end of the day, this whole craziness we're witnessing is heading for its own destruction. Right. No one will survive this. I quite often, when I educate people about what we witnessed in my country before, when I was growing up in, you know, visiting concentration camps, we had a concentration camp in the city I was growing up. I visited Auschwitz-Birkenau many times, Majdanek and other concentration camps. What the Germans did to the people in Europe, in the whole world, actually, in Poland as well. And then, of course, growing up behind the Iron Curtain, I witnessed what the socialists and communist psychopaths were doing to us, you know, when I was growing up. And I came to one conclusion. Historically speaking, hearing from the, you know, older generation about what the Nazis did, and then seeing what the communism and socialism was doing to us, villains and victims are always victims in the end. What I'm trying to say is, in the end of the day, everyone suffers. Everyone suffers. They may have those billions, trillions of dollars, but I mean, living in a golden cage is still living in slavery. It's just a better room, a more beautiful room, but you're still a slave. I witnessed that because I work in Africa and the Caribbean. I witnessed that in the slums, in the poverty-stricken neighborhoods, especially in Kenya, when you have guards with machine guns and palaces. But the moment you step out of that environment, it's children running with rats barefoot. It's poverty. It's dumb everywhere. It's heartbreaking. So even those people that have millions of dollars and can afford nicer prisons are still a prisoner. So we don't want that. America, the dream of America, and not just United States of America, I'm talking about Canada as well. Right. The dream of America was that the man can work hard and achieve something, be free to worship God in his own way, and give something beautiful to the next generation, inheritance, a blessing, right? That's the idea of freedom. Not just for me, but freedom for my descendants, so they can live in the country, that they can work hard. You don't have to work hard. You can, you know, get a welfare check if you want. But if you want to work hard, if you want to achieve something and give something beautiful to your children and their children, you are allowed to do that. That's the American dream. Government should leave us alone for us to be able to pursue happiness, our way of life. But they are not allowing us to do that because those people want to be pharaohs. Those people want to be modern-day Hitlers and Stalins. And for them, your free thinking, worship of your God is unacceptable because there is a competition that is happening. If you worship the real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're not worshiping the state. Right. You're not worshiping the Alberta Health Services. You're not worshiping the, you know, Fauci's of today, whatever they say is supposed to be a law, because they're like gods. You're not worshiping the President of the United States of America. You're not worshiping those people. Therefore, your God must be struck down. That's what we're witnessing. There is a power struggle right now because they want to be gods. Pharaoh, if you said to the Pharaoh, that's why Joseph's story is so incredible, because Joseph pretty much, in not so many words, but in the same way, he pretty much said to the Pharaoh, you're not God, but the real God will reveal to you what those dreams mean. They hate that idea that you worship the living God because they want to be the ones that decide how you live, with whom you go to a restaurant, who lives, who dies. I mean, everything. They want to be gods and everything. They want to control everything. Everything is about control. And we, the free people in Canada, free people in America, the people that believe in God, the very one that says who comes to me is free indeed. The very one that states that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. That God that sets the captives free, it's unacceptable to them because they want to have a bunch of slaves. So this fight is so much bigger than individual fights. We are talking about the future of our children, future of our countries. Are we going to become just slaves, controlled digital ID, digital currency? They will be able to, you know,
everything. No privacy, no freedom. But also, I want to end on one thing that's really important and that I think you can address more than anyone. So a lot of times, because I do, what I do is a little different. I connect the money at the very top to the billionaire globalist oligarchy to show exactly who's involved. That's kind of where I go with this Agenda 2030, explaining it. But one thing that I get sometimes, because I also go along the same path as you and Amanda and Julie and everyone as well. So, you know, sometimes people say to me, well, the Red Sea moment's coming. Don't you know? Why aren't you hopeful? You're always saying, what I try to do is give out information to empower people to know who the enemy is, because they're very confused. That's what the propaganda, the cognitive warfare, it's to confuse you so you don't see the enemy. So that's kind of my piece. But people, you know, especially very religious people say, and well-meaning, they say the Red Sea moment is coming, that, and, you know, just keep praying and all of that. And I say, do you know that they didn't know the Red Sea moment was coming when they got to the water? They were walking and starving in heat in the desert, just having faith, but they weren't doing nothing. Okay, they weren't doing nothing. They were walking with faith, following Moses, praying and going for days on end in the desert, in the heat, in that people are dying. They're doing what they could, but they did not give up because they kept going. They kept doing something. They had a purpose. So what I want people to know, and what I want to end on with you, is yeah, we can't determine when you had your personal Red Sea moment, but God will be there. But they couldn't determine it then either. They didn't know that was going to happen with the Red Sea. And we don't know how this is going to happen, though it will. But I think between here and there, we have to remember those people walked in faith for days on end in horrible conditions, did whatever they could to keep going, to keep following, to keep believing, to keep doing that. And I think that people have to realize right now they need to be part of the solution, and God will prove in his time. But between now and whenever that Red Sea moment comes, we should all be doing, using what God gave us inside to be part of the solution towards that. And I want to end on that and what you think people right now should be doing. And then we'll tell them again how to support you.
Yeah. So, you know, when you look at David, you're looking at David, and God did not give him a sword, really, because he was uncomfortable. That was not him. He knew deep inside that he has to stick with the anointing that God has given him, which was a stick, which doesn't make any sense. How can you fight with a stick against such a mountain of a man, and with a smooth stone? I mean, ridiculous, right? But yet he walked, and then it says he ran with what God gave him. The same, the story with Mordecai and Esther. I mean, imagine seeing a gallows being built every single day for you. I mean, I know how Mordecai felt, because they were building many gallows for me during the past a few years. They put my house on fire, as you know, in the middle of the night. They unscrewed tires in my pickup truck. I mean, I was physically attacked. They tried to murder me in prison. They put me in solitary. All those different things happened to break me or to eliminate me. But Arthur Pulaski is or Donald Trump, if you will, we are a walking example for all of you to understand that our God is bigger than the most powerful, in quote, people on earth. I am not fighting with just few cops on the streets. I exposed the biggest players, if you will, in our country. They wanted to make an example out of Arthur Pulaski. That's why the arrests were so spectacular, if you will, adventurous for me, in the middle of the highway, stepping out of the plane, in the middle of snow under a bridge. I mean, I was arrested by every force we have in the country.
Everyone on planet Earth basically saw it, if they had a TV, right? Too. I mean, like, you were being an example. That's what they were doing.
They were making an example out of me. I was arrested by RCMP, which is like your FBI, a SWAT detectives, Calgary police uniform, undercover, you name it, special SWAT team with cameras, like El Chapo, Al Capone of Canada. Why God allowed us? Why did he allow this? Because the upset was a setup. God was setting a stage up, and he allowed them to do certain things for the whole world to see it. I believe, Mel, I truly believe that he has set things up for us to expose them. And that's why they cannot destroy Donald Trump. They cannot destroy Arthur Pulaski, because God has chosen us for such a time as this to put the villains on the display. I was offered millions of dollars to stop doing what I'm doing. I was offered a guaranteed seat at the legislature. I was offered a government position. I was offered to be, a media came to me and they said, there is a proposal. We will make you the most famous Canadian if you stop doing what I'm like. Listen, I don't do that for money. I don't do this for
fame.
But that's
how it's done. But you're exposing it, because people always say, why do all these politicians, why do all these reporters, why do all, because of what you just said. Because that's how they do it. They come to you, they make you a deal. Once you take that deal, you're done. They own you, and you refuse to be owned.
You're a puppet, right? I used to be a puppet for the Satan. I used to work for Satan. I was part of the club, if you will. I was part of the system as a businessman before. So I dealt with politicians. I dealt with media. When Jesus set me free, I'm not going back into Egypt. I'm not going back into slavery. Right. He sets me free. I tasted freedom, and all the millions and all those trinkets, if you will, do not have appeal to me, because I understood what I want others to understand, that without Jesus, without God, you have nothing. With Jesus, you have everything. That's the difference. So how you do that? You must engage. You cannot just sit on the fence hoping that you will be just entertained by what you're witnessing. God is forcing you to jump. Either him, serve him with all your heart, with everything you have, or you will be swallowed by that cancer, by Satan. Because what we know about Satan is that he will use you, he will abuse you, and then he will spew you out like a filthy rag. That's what he does with those people. Look, Epstein and others, he will use them for a season, and he will trash them, dispose of them like garbage. That's what Satan does. But God will allow certain things to happen to build you up, to test you, to show you first, and then to others, if you're serious, if you can be trusted, if you are up to the challenge, if you will. I marvel at your president, of course, the rightful one, the Donald Trump. I marvel. I mean, I don't know anybody.
Nobody's seen it. Well, honestly, you and him, to me, have shown the same kind of trajectory and courage that we need to watch, because you both were persecuted beyond what anyone's ever seen. You more, because you were way ahead of him, but now he's being persecuted similar to you. Anything and anything that they can do. But this is how we learn, that we were fed a lot of false heroes, a lot of false leaders. Now we're being shown actual leaders, actual heroes, actual people who are sacrificing themselves for us, you know. And that's, I agree with you, but I think that you're very similar. I think he knows that too.
So by the fruits, right? By the fruits. I always say to the people, listen, if they were not marching with us, if they were not standing for us, if they were not willing to pay the price, because in the end of the day, we have to understand, especially as Christians, that they cost the father his life of his son. It cost the son his own blood. Do you really think it's not going to cost you anything? Jesus said, what? Pick up your Starbucks coffee every day and follow me. No, he said, pick up your cross every day. That means difficult times will come. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil. Why? People come to me all the time, almost every day. Why you're not afraid? Why you're exposing them? Aren't you afraid that you will be assassinated? Listen, my life is no longer mine. I give up my life. I give it to God, because my life was a mess. I was a messed up individual without God. Now I have everything. Because when you are in the kingdom of God, you you are the son. I don't think people understand that you are heir to the throne. You are a daughter of the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My life is His. So here I am, Lord, use me in whatever capacity you want to use me. And I think that's the message that terrifies them. Listen, I am probably one of the most shadow banned people in Canada. I mean, it's ridiculous to a point that people don't see what I post. There is a reason for that, because they're afraid. The truth sets the captives free. That's why I'm so grateful to my American brothers and sisters like you, because by putting me on your platforms, you're spreading the word that in Canada, they are terrified of. And it's so important, this witness that God is allowing us to be part of must go around the world. The Get Out video that I was told was the number one played video during the, you know, weekend for the Passover of 2021.
It empowered so many people. I remember watching it in New York City, being like standing and clapping for you. We were so excited to watch that. I totally remember how we felt that day. And it was when you were, it was still allowed on YouTube because they didn't know it was coming. So
yeah, but now, Mel, you see, that did its job. And if you would tell me at that time that this little me yelling with a Polish accent, get out, like, what did I say? I didn't say much. Right. I just, what was in my heart was like Moses and Aaron said to the Pharaoh, let my people go. That's it.
Just it was. Get out. And hundreds of millions of people saw that and felt it. Felt the same exact way and felt like they wished that they could have done it too. And that I really think that was a turning point. I'm telling you, that was way bigger than almost anything else that happened in terms of uniting humanity that was awake, I think.
But now we need another message.
Yep.
We have been defending ourselves for too long now. Now it's time, and I'm trying my best to speak to your hearts, to your souls, and to your minds. Now it's time to go after the villains. It's time to go after Hamans of today. Yep. It's time to go after the Goliaths, the giants of today, because on the other side of Haman, on the other side of the giant, is your destiny. God has a destiny for America. He has a destiny for Canada. Let's not allow the devil to steal what's rightfully ours. And I think that's the message I want people to walk out of with, that we serve God of the impossible. Yes, today may look like an impossible. God is telling you, lift your hands and lift the staff. I mean, when people look at this, they laugh at us. What? Staff is going to fix your problems? No, it's not. It was never about the staff. It was never about the stone. It was never about the slingshot. It was never about, you know, a gallows. It was never about a stick. It was always about obedience. God wants us to obey Him. When you obey Him, when you do what He's telling you to do, the Red Sea, whatever you're facing, will depart. And on the other side of the Red Sea is not only your redemption, your freedom, but God is using water in order to drown our enemies and do the debt, cancellation, a liberation. He needs water, and He wants us to go to the other side of the water. And I'm telling you, it's going to be spectacular. And that's the message. They've done everything they could, and they could not prevail, because our God is bigger than their idols.
Exactly. And you are going to be in Tulare, California with your amazing family and your wife and your son, and you guys are going to come. So if anybody hasn't already gotten their tickets and is in California, you can come see this amazing man and the whole world. It'll be streamed everywhere to hear an amazing, amazing testimonial of faith and God and what we are looking at as we stand strong in this battle. And thank you so much, sir. Can you tell the audience where they can go? Please support his lawsuit in Canada that will be a worldwide model of what we need to do everywhere, including here, to hold the actual people accountable and get to the top of the rung. It is one group, and we can take them down, but we got to start somewhere. And he is being, as usual, on the front lines of starting that taking the offense. So tell my audience where to find you, how to follow you, and how to donate to the cause.
Yeah, we're not only going after the entities, government entities, we're going after personal chief of police, for example, naming them specifically John Doe, Jane Doe. So it's going to be a massive, massive law suit against them. And I want to encourage everyone, if you can support it, please do. Go to streetchurch.ca. Street, because we're still feeding thousands of people on the streets of our cities, streetchurch.ca. And for American people, there is a PayPal. You can use your cards, and there is even a cryptocurrency that you can donate as well. And for everyone in Canada, there is e-transfer as well, or you can send us a check. All kinds of ways that you can support us. But if you can, please do, because this fight is to the death. And where I have no intention of stopping. I have no intention of bowing down before what, before those entities, those globalist idol worshippers that want our children and their children. So we must oppose them and be blessed, stay strong, don't quit. And remember, we are lions, and lions never bow before the hyenas.
Never. Thank you so much, sir. We will see you in California. And please, everyone, go to streetchurch.ca and do what you can. Also sign up and follow him wherever you can. And I look forward to seeing you go. All I know is it's going to be a wild ride. And as always, God is definitely working with and for and through you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a Kid Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. this matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page. Goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They matter to him. They matter to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious.